Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Smart Faith Podcast, coming to you from the middle of nowhere in West Texas. My name is Joe Sisk, and you can email me at smartfaithpodcast@yahoo.com. Definitely check out revelationsradionetwork.com for all your podcast needs. Thank you everybody for the prayers. We got some rain last night. It's a wonderful thing. We're waking up praising God this morning because we got us some good rain last night. A nice, good Texas thunderstorm rolled through the area all the way through most of the Permian Basin from the looks of it. If I saw the radar map right, a good chunk of us got a good deal of rain that we definitely needed. Definitely got some good rain out of it. Even got a little bit of hail out of it. Thank goodness none of it was damaging though. But we didn't have just a great rain and a great blessing from God coming down in that rain because we need it so badly here. Before we get started today, I wanted to say a shout out to Chris White of the Nowhere to Run podcast and Chris White Ministries. You guys are all probably familiar with him. I know he's too big to be listening to a little show like ours, but I just wanted to thank him publicly anyway because you know he's done so much for us as a podcast, so much for us people here at the Revelations Radio Network. You know, we all owe him a debt of gratitude for keeping the family together and running the system after Frank Lordy stepped aside and went off to his business. You know, Chris came in and took over and said, okay, I'm going to keep this going. I'm going to keep it alive. And we just really want to show some gratitude for him for that. So if you come across him online anywhere, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, happen to see him at one of his speaking engagements or something, definitely give him a thank you for that because we all really owe him one for doing all that. You know, it's just really great. And he gave a shout out to Tim Kilkenny the other day for helping him with the day-to-day maintenance, he said, of the Revelations Radio Network. I'm not sure what all that entails. I'm not really too technically savvy on the whole podcast side of things, on the technical part of the podcast side of things. But if it's good enough for Chris to give a thank you to, it's definitely good enough for me to give a thank you to as well. So thank you, Tim. I love you, man. You're awesome. I bet you're probably too big now to listen to the show, too. But, you know, you're a great guy, dude, and I love you and a whole lot. And I just want to say bless you for the work you're doing and helping Chris keep this whole thing running. And I really owe y'all a lot. So thank you to both those guys. Definitely want to say that. Today's episode is going to be a bit of a rant fest. Today's episode is entitled, Who Cares, Man? And we're going to be looking at some serious problems going on. And I'm going to get it probably all up in arms and get all crazy and wild, so y'all just better watch out. We're going to be tackling a serious problem that has arisen in the body of Christ, and that problem is apathy. Nobody cares anymore. Wake up, people. We're falling completely apart because of this problem of apathy. We think it is enough to pay lip service to God, but let me tell you, friends, that is not enough at all, and it has deadly serious repercussions if we live our lives in that manner. Today we're going to rail against apathy and the things that apathy includes. I pray to inspire you to move for God, to stand for Him, to do something, anything in the service of the Lord. That's my goal today. What do I mean by apathy, though? I mean the lack of feeling or emotion. People have literally lost their feelings for serving the Lord and have a total lack of emotion over the wonderful gift of salvation that is offered to all men through Christ Jesus our Lord. Where we should be burning with fire for God, we have nothing nowadays but complete and utter indifference. What a shame. We absolutely must snap out of this trend before it destroys us. This is especially hitting our young people hard. Apathy is an incredibly potent tool of Satan and is being wielded against the youth in our world with vicious ferocity. Satan is like a lion seeking whom he may devour, and he's finding a great deal of easy pickings out there because we are falling apart and allowing apathy to run wild in our society. According to a report put out a few years ago by Lifeway Christian Resources, some 72% of the 1,200 respondents to a survey consider themselves more spiritual than religious. Translation, I want to think what I want about God, not that He has spoken to be the truth through His holy word. You know, I don't want to believe that. I want to believe what I want to believe about God. This distinction allows for people to justify sin in their lives. Oh no, we're cool with God because we're spiritual, but we don't follow any of the rules He's laid down because we're not religious. Okay, it is a cop-out, people, plain and simple, and it's leading to growing apathy in the world. Of the 65% of the respondents to the survey that said they were Christian, most either fell under the definition of a mushy Christian or purely Christian in name only, claiming the title like some kind of inherited condition you can get because your ancestors said they were. When I say mushy Christian, I mean people that have no problem going out and YOLOing it up all Saturday night and sitting in church on pretty as can be each Sunday morning like nothing is wrong. While we're on the subject of YOLO, let me rail against that for a moment, and then we'll get back to our study here. If you haven't heard of this YOLO thing, let me explain. It means you only live once. It's like a carpe diem of the millennial generation, or whatever you want to call this newest generation, Generation Y, whatever. Whatever you want to call the young people, the 18, 29-year-olds going around out there, they have this whole YOLO idea going on. Which is, in fact, you know, but in a way, you only live once is in fact quite true. The issue becomes then that they're using this you only live once to justify any and all behaviors that they wish to engage in. Alcohol abuse, sure. Sexual promiscuity, sign me up. Drug use, all right. Reckless, sinful behavior, YOLO, baby. Tip the bottle back, sniff a little, take a little, smoke a little, drink a little, what can it hurt? We only live once, man, right? How can we tolerate this as Christians, folks? As parents, people, as society in general, we absolutely cannot do so. We must stand up and say, enough is enough. The line is drawn here, this far, and no further. What did God say to us through the psalmist? Oh, right, in Psalms 94:16, he says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? I know I'm ready to be the one that stands for God against the darkness, and I beg everyone that loves the Lord within the sound of my voice to do the same thing. The darkness is coming, but we are commanded as Christians not to live our lives in the darkness, but we are to be as a light upon the hill, visible for miles, beating back the darkness with our very presence. Or should I say the presence of God showing through us. You know, Matthew 5:14-16 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Give it up to God through being a light in the world. Isn't it funny how the smallest light dispels the greatest darkness around that comes around it? The light cannot be hid by the darkness, no matter how deep that night. The candle always casts forth its light, and you can see it. We are to burn in good works and burn in faith in our God so that he be glorified through us to all the world. YOLO indeed, my friends. We only live once, and then the judgment, and we need to spend that time serving God, not using the truth of our existence to justify sin. You can never dismiss sin or justify it. Sin separates us from God, and that's the bottom line. Live your YOLO life and you'll find out what I mean. And God doesn't want that. He wants all of us to come to repentance. So the next time you feel like hollering YOLO, examine what you're doing, young people, and make sure that YOLO be in honor of God and not an excuse for sin. Alright, now back to our survey results here. Get off that whole rant thing. I'm going to rant some more, though. 65% of the young people surveyed rarely or never pray with others, and 38% do not even pray alone at any time. How are we doing this Christian thing without prayer? What's the point of the title if you're not even going to engage in the most basic practices of the faith? So let me get this right. We're going to claim to be Christian, but we don't want to read the instructions on what Christianity really is. We don't want to attend training, more on that in just a second, and we don't want to talk to God either. It makes as about much sense as joining the army, refusing to go to... Oh, excuse me, there had a message come through. It's like joining the army, refusing to go to boot camp, not bothering to read your orders, and refusing to speak to a superior officer. Why are you even there then? Why are you saying that you're a soldier if you're going to refuse all training and orders? Same goes with the faith. Why claim you're a Christian if you don't want anything to do with God? It's mind-blowing, people. It really is. 65% of these young people that identify as Christian do not regularly attend or never attend church services. Again, what's the point of the label of Christian if you're not willing to go where the Christians gather for important training? Church is there to train us up in the ways of God and to give us fellowship with other worshipers and allow us to come together to wield prayers together as a unit, also allowing us time to lift our hand in praise to the Lord. But it's also, like I said, a very important training session. I know there are those out there that are having a hard time finding a good church home, and I understand that. Been there before myself, but the point is if you're not praying and skipping out on church and not reading the book, then you're just not doing yourself any favors by checking out that box that says Christian on the census or on your Facebook or on whatever form you're filling out or wherever you're asked that question. To use the war analogy, if you're a prayer warrior, a soldier of Christ, looking for a unit to deploy with, that's understandable. But if you're going to be a person that is immersed in the Word and in prayer, and you know you're going to do all that, then that's great. But if you're not, if you lose those things, you have a problem. 67% of these purported young Christians do not read the Bible. We've done whole shows over this very topic, folks. See episode 155. It's called Sword Practice for the latest edition of that discussion. We've also done two other discussions in the past. I don't think those are up anymore, but I could probably get those out at special request, I imagine. If you just email me at smartfaithpodcast@yahoo.com, I could probably hook you up with some of the older episodes if you need to, through whatever method is most convenient for you, and we'll do all that. But anyway, we've done Indifference a couple different times, and we've done Sword Practice here lately at 155 that is available, so definitely check that out. I mean, come on, we don't, suffice it to say, if we're going to not going to read the book, there isn't much point in even claiming Christianity at all. I mean, we don't call it basic instructions before leaving Earth for nothing. In the faith, there is to be hunger for the Word, not this overwhelming apathy we see driving the hearts of the youth nowadays. Many of these young people are unsure as to the path of heaven. Half of them answered Jesus is the way, half of them didn't know. While I'm glad to see the percentage as high as half that figured out the truth, it's appalling that the truth isn't more widespread. Isn't it our jobs as Christians to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth? Should there be no doubt on how to get to heaven, especially when one claims to be a Christian? Of course not. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. John 14:6, I do believe. Now think about it. We have 65% of the respondents claiming to be Christian, and 50% claim that Jesus is the way. We still have 15% of these Christians out there that don't know. They're saying they're Christian, but have no clue. That is astounding, folks. Why does this happen? Why do we have this big group of people that aren't sure? Because they won't go to church. Because they won't pray. Because they won't read the Bible. They aren't willing to do anything to further their religious and spiritual education. This is leading them to be completely lost about a faith they actually end up knowing next to nothing about. But oh yeah, YOLO. Yeah, we know that slang. We live that life, don't we, homie? You know, I mean, totally. But me, I go to church. I hear the preacher preach and I go home. That's what Christians do now. And apathy isn't limited to our young people, however, before they start to think I'm picking on them solely. Apathy is a problem lingering from the front of the church all the way to the back and covering everyone around and even those who aren't there. Maybe even more so those who aren't there. But apathy abounds out of the church and even in the church. This is where the battle must be fought and must be won. I know the world is in a state of entropy and will continue to degrade and go downhill until our precious Savior returns and makes all things new, but that doesn't mean there isn't room for revival right now, my friends. We can and should and hopefully shall rally the troops, so to speak, to wage war against Satan in the darkness of this world, as outlined in Ephesians 6, among other places. I'd like to throw out a quote spoken by John Piper. If you're a Christian hip-hop fan, you know this quote, most likely. But it's a powerful statement nonetheless. It goes like this. He said, I hear so many Christians murmuring about their imperfections and their failures and their addictions and their shortcomings, and I see so little war. Murmur, murmur, murmur. Why am I this way? Make war. He is challenging apathy here in this statement, because war keeps us vigilant against all apathy. If you are making war against the sin in your life, you're not going to be apathetic regarding it. You cannot fight something and not care about it at the same time. You're going to care about your enemy if you're fighting it. You can't be indifferent towards something you're at war with. You must take care to fight. You must defeat apathy and make war on sin. Our biggest enemies are not the devil or anything external, but ourselves, our own apathy that murders our zeal for the Lord. Another quote from Piper, Christianity is not a settle and live in peace with the world the way it is religion. And that is absolutely true, sir. How very true. We are called to zeal. We are called to war. We are called to serve Him in all things. This is defeated. This is destroyed. This is lost in the face of apathy. Apathy kills our service, our zeal, and ultimately destroys our faith. But me? I go to the church, hear the preacher preach, and go home. That's what Christians do now. What happens to apathetic Christians like this? What happens to apathetic churches? Jesus said in Revelation 3:15-16, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The last thing we want to do is be lukewarm, because that serves nothing and will lead us to be cast away from Jesus, because he seeks those that would serve him in boldness. We walk in this world and we let the world tell us what to do, what to think, how to act, and who to serve, and we listen. As Christians, we're called to be separate from this world, folks. We're called to be something more. We're allowing apathy to build in our lives to where we are no longer faithful. We are no longer zealous. We are no longer on fire for God. Our flames are gone out and our souls are suffering for it. This phenomenon isn't limited to those sitting in the pews either. We have preachers, teachers, and leaders falling to apathy so fast it's making our heads spin. The relevancy movement in my mind has completely failed, and it's become nothing more than a circus of amusement to fill minds with vain imaginings where godly preachers surely once stood. Some preachers, teachers, and leaders have turned church into some kind of entertainment platform instead of using church as was intended to equip the servants of God with the tools needed to do the good works we are called to do and to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I have literally seen churches where they have brought in motorcycle riders to jump over the preacher's head. Like, seeing that and breathing in motorcycle exhaust fumes is really going to bring me closer to God. Give me a break, people. Preachers, teachers, leaders, you must stand up for the Lord and speak his holy truth in the times of worship when we all come together. It is not an issue of relevancy we are fighting here, people. We are fighting apathy. People don't stop going to church because it isn't relevant, because the Word of God is holy, powerful, and transcends time when studied and understood properly and delivered, and the message is delivered properly. It's apathy that drives them away. It's a lack of feeling for God. It's a loss of emotional value in what they are doing that leads them away from the pew, from that Bible, and from that prayer. This is the face of one of our greatest enemies, and staring back, we find it looks like us. Fight the fight, people. We aren't dead yet, and the Lord isn't standing in the clouds at this moment, so there's still a job left to be done. We must see about getting it done. We must see about bringing as many people to the fold as possible. Time is short, truly, but it's not over yet. We are to labor in our warfare until that final trumpet call is made. No giving up beforehand. No turning out early. We are to work to the last breath, to the last moment, till we do see Jesus returning in the sky to carry us home. Until then, apathy, meet my boot. But me? I go to church, hear the preacher preach, and go home. That's what Christians do now. 2 Timothy 4:3-4 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." I think this time has arrived, because the sound doctrine has been replaced by fables in many churches, and in many minds, the people out there have been, through a sense of apathy, have lost their way. The truth remains relevant, my friends, no matter what the situation is. It is our hearts that grow cold and are not willing to listen to the truth, but seek after comforting lies. And the liar Satan is always ready with a good, comforting lie. How do we counteract this? How do we defeat apathy in our churches, in our society, and even in our lives? Romans 12:11 says, "Not slothful in business," but here's the important part, "fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." We are to be fervent in spirit, to have that fire for God, that desire to burn him, a burning need to be closer to him in all our ways. "But Joe," you might say, "I don't have that fire anymore." That's apathy, my friend. Fires don't start by themselves. You have to gather the wood, prepare the kindling, stack it together properly, and then light it ablaze with a spark from a match or a lighter or other source. Then the fire will rage, and you will be kept warm, and your food will be cooked, and you can sing campfire songs. Ask any country person out there, friend. They'll tell you, you can't just slap it all together and expect it to burn right. You need to build it up, you know. There's a method to the madness. You got to do the wood in a certain way. You got to put your kindling in the right spot. Then you light it up, and if you do it right, it's going to burn, and it's going to burn for a long time. But the fire doesn't just jump up on its own. As I said, it must be prepared properly. Your heart needs to be prepared for the zeal of the Lord. Be diligent in laying out your wood and kindling, which is your heart and mind, and light it ablaze with a heat source. Where can we always find the flame burning for God? In his holy word. That's all you need to light the fire in your heart and mind. It's the love of God that runs through the Holy Bible. That will renew your fire and keep the darkness of apathy at bay until the ultimate light of the world, Jesus Christ, returns and with his brilliance banishes all darkness forever. Amen. But me? I go to church, hear the preacher preach, and go home. That's what Christians do now. And therein lies the problem. The reason I've been repeating that statement over and over again is because Christians really do only go to church, hear the preacher preach, and go home. There is no zeal, no fire for the Lord, no service to Him besides a few minutes of singing and maybe a half hour to 45 minutes of preaching, most of which these people will be drifting off to sleep during or daydreaming about something else during. Justin Timberlake once asked in a song a very important question, where is the love? I ask the same with a slight modification, where is the love for God? Where is our zeal, people? What is it going to take to wake us up out of the apathy and return us to the service of the Lord? Come on now, people, it's all falling apart. Everything is falling down and the end is fast approaching. But that doesn't mean we are without hope. That doesn't mean we can't lay down in apathy and die. We can't do that. This means our urgency must ramp up as the times grow dark and the days grow evil. We can still have revival, people. There are still souls out there to be reached for Jesus. Let us work harder and more diligently towards our goals of spreading the gospel to the far ends of the earth each day as each day passes. Don't just sit there. God doesn't need any more bad examples of Christian living. He's got enough. All right. Nor does He need any more bumps on the old pew logs. If you're nothing but a bump on that pew that just fills spaces every now and then, you got a problem. What we need is desire, and what He wants is He desires for us to live for Him, to serve Him, to seek Him, to be conduits for His will. Will you do this? Will you be there for God? Or will you let apathy choke out the eternal life out of you? Fight apathy. Make war. Bring zeal back to your life. Walk with Christ. Read the book. Attend the training. Be a warrior for God, and not just another apathetic seat filler. But me, I serve God to war against sin and to hell with apathy. And I mean that literally. I'm not cursing. May all apathy be cast away from us, O Lord. And I think that will pretty much do it for me, folks. I am totally spent here. This is just railing on my heart and mind, and I could probably go on for another 3 hours about it. But I just got to let it out there, folks. We have to fight the apathy. We have to be vigilant against it. So I'm going to let you all people go and just say a prayer in your heart for the apathetic in this world, that God reach down and light the fires of their heart once again. You know, I love you guys, and until next time, my friends, God bless.